Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 6. The New King James Version renders it, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together." Now, if your mind is as my mind is, you have to say, "Well, wait just a minute now. Are you telling me that the predator and its prey will be together and lie down in the same place? How could this be so? What is this relationship?" He gives the answer there as Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 6 continues, "And a little child shall lead them." I want us to focus on that phrase for just a little while. "A little child shall lead them." If you have not been impressed with our young men and their leading in various aspects, I would have to say to this point it's because you have not been to one of our devotionals. Our young children are already developing that leadership style, that leadership quality that needs to be found in us. They're developing it, and it's impressive to watch as little children learn to lead. Here he says, "A little child will lead them." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, we find, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the old things have passed away, and behold, all things are now new." The gospel has that power. It has the power to change us, to transform us when we are teachable, when we are willing to learn. And these young men are doing just that. They're allowing us to teach them and to mold them and transform them by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of such, we recognize that children in their youngest of ages, in those formidable years, have the greatest opportunity for their parents to set their course, set their direction in life by strictly teaching the Bible. These parents train their children, but I want parents to recognize and understand that they should also learn from those children. Learn from the children. While the children are led by us, they can also lead us. They're not born totally depraved, as some suggest. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, in fact, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Young, teachable, willing to learn, willing to follow. Are we of that nature? He also said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." To be converted means, as the English Standard Version translates it, to turn. Turn around and go in reverse. To be mature in our Christian walk, we must have some childlike qualities which we can only learn from children. And they lead us in these areas. Notice with me that a little child shall lead them in humility. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child," Jesus said, "is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 4. Being humble, not thinking too highly of self, pride being in the sense of thinking too highly of self is condemned, in fact. Proverbs chapter 6, we look at verses 16 and 17. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." He continues the thought, verse 18 and 19, "a heart that deceives or devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. I'm not suggesting that these are in any particular order, but yet it is interesting that the first of these six, and then he says seven things, is a proud look. The American Standard Version has it as haughty eyes. It's rendered as eyes of pride in the Bible in basic English. This type of pride, the pride that overvalues self and undervalues others, is condemned. This kind of pride leads only to destruction, as we find in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. A little child shall lead them in the quality of humility. Humility really does pay. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James continues in chapter 4 and verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We have a great example of the pride and humility conflict in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, look with me at verses number 10 through verse 13. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Question is why would Jesus use this in a discussion? Why would Jesus tell this particular parable? He answers that for us in verse 9, when he says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He told it to get the attention of those who were prideful and needed their attention gotten so that he could illustrate this for them, the truth that is found in verse 14, the second reason why he tells this parable. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Christ told this parable to get the attention of those who were prideful, but also to exalt those who were humble. A little child shall lead them in humility. Question is, are we following? Are we following? A little child shall lead them in forgiveness. Brethren, he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 20, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the act of malice, that's evil disposition. That's the causing of trouble and badness and wickedness. Children do not have that. They don't have an evil disposition. They don't set out every day to cause trouble and to cause badness and do and take part in badness and wickedness. They ought to be an example to us. But we ought to also be like children in forgiving. Forgiveness requires some understanding. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They didn't know, but he did know. And therefore, he sought forgiveness for them. We have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Thus, we should forgive. Matthew chapter 6, we read verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Children are so forgiving. It doesn't take long for one to readily see this in these young children. But as we grow up and our hearts begin to settle into the ways of life, and so to speak, life takes place, then we begin to struggle with this thing of forgiveness. Maybe as in the case of Matthew chapter 18. We look at Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? We want to know, just how much do I have to do and still be able to get away with it? Maybe even step out on a limb and go the second mile and say, not just one or two times, but seven times. Jesus responds to Peter. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 490 times. Now, Jesus' point is that we shouldn't even keep count. We should forgive one every single time that they need to be forgiven, for God has done that for us. But let's entertain that number for just a moment. 490 times. If we were to keep record, how many of us could say that we have forgiven a single individual 490 times? I dare say that not a one of us could raise our hands to say that we have. What's the point? A child shall lead them in forgiveness. How quick is a young child willing to forgive and to forget? Are we following their lead? A little child shall lead them in sincerity. Being sincere means without wax. It means being genuine, being real, not deceitful, but truthful. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 24 brings out a very interesting statement there towards the close of the book of Ephesians. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Do we love Jesus Christ in sincerity? Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be sincere. Let it be truthful. Let it be genuine, not deceitful, but real. Is our love for Christ, for His church, both local and worldwide, sincere? A little child shall lead them in sincerity. But are we following? A little child shall lead them in confiding trust. Children trust their parents. They sometimes will even continue to trust their parents, though that trust may have been broken. They're still not afraid to trust again and readily forgive and trust again. Children have the same confidence in God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do we really trust Him and confide in that trust in Him? What about the words of Psalm 84 and verse number 11? For the Lord God is a shield and a sun. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Children, understand Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 far better than we sometimes. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do we really believe, do we really trust God to see us through the most difficult of circumstances? To see us through that all things will work together for our good. God has promised it to those who are called according to His purpose. A little child shall lead them in confiding trust. Once more we ask, are we following them in that? Children imitate their parents. They imitate their dress, their speech, their walk, among so many other things. They model us, follow after us. Yet we as parents, as adults, we ought to imitate young children in these things, in humility, in forgiveness, in the act of love with sincerity, and in confiding trust. Notice with me the difference that children can have on us if we are but willing to follow their lead. It's found in a short statement by Andrew Giles. It's titled, Two Prayers. It reads, last night my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong, and kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears, dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know You can. Then, while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with low bowed head, O God, make me a child like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting Thee with faith sincere. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 6. When any one of us comes before God with these childlike characteristics, seeking forgiveness, then there are some promises that have been granted to us that we need to take note of. The promise of the east-west, promise of Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. The stain remover promise, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. About the behind the back promise, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, but You have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for You have cast all my sins behind Your back. What about the eraser promise? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, I am He who blots out your transgressions. The amnesia promise, Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 34, I will forgive their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. What about the deep sea promise of Micah chapter 7 and verse number 19? You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Is it the case with you tonight that you need forgiveness for some sin that is in your life? Is it the case that you need to come with these childlike characteristics, these childlike qualities in seeking forgiveness? God's plan is very simple. He asks that you hear, Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you willing to listen and to learn and to be taught? Believe, he says, Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Repent, Luke 13, 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Confess. Confess the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse number 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then there is baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The necessity of being faithful after baptism and even unto the point of death is taught in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Young children can teach us so many things, four of which we need to pay special close attention to. It may be the case that one needs to respond tonight. Respond in humility, seeking forgiveness from God, with a sincere heart, placing all their trust in Him. As we stand and as we sing.